Well, if you'd like to turn to the Epistle to the Ephesians, and this is the series that we're looking at on these mornings, the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. And I just felt it appropriate, just for the first 5 or 6 minutes of our service together, just to do a little recap, really, because it could be that you've been ill or been away on holiday and missed out, just to see where our verses, chapter 4, fits in with what's happened before. Because I do know that some folks go on holiday. Although you're living at a seaside place, a holiday place, some have gone. And in case Piers ever listens to this tape, it's been noted that the last 3 times I've been here, he's been away. Which is rather wonderful to speak about unity, isn't it? You know, he phoned up on, was it yesterday, and said, can Jackie do a story? Can Jackie play? And we're off to whatever day it was to. Now, I say that in jest. I know we've been recorded, but it does happen, doesn't it, that we go away and we miss it. So a little recap just might help us to put things in. So if we just turn to chapter 1, really, just so that we can see how it... And I always find, I know I say this many times, the little bits in italics, not part of the original inspired Word of God, but the people who've composed the NIV, put it together in modern English. The bits in italics aren't part of the original Bible, but just little summaries to help us. And it says there, Ephesians 1, verse 3, spiritual blessings in Christ. Paul is writing about the blessings that we have in Christ. He says, praise, verse 3, he says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He's actually saying what we sometimes sing or used to sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. That's what he's saying, count your blessings. Praise be to God who has blessed us with every spiritual... Just think of all the blessings that are yours. He goes on to say, you've been chosen. You've been adopted, you've been made free, you've been redeemed, you've been forgiven, you've been sealed. This was like 5 or 6 weeks ago when the series started. I guess that's what the preacher... You're receiving an inheritance. All these blessings that are yours, just ponder on that. Praise be, worship God because he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. As I didn't actually say to Jackie, but as we drove down, she knew I wasn't concentrating on the driving, but she, I was thinking, well, you know, there is a secular song that we sing, count your blessings, but always look on the bright side. You'll be whistling that to yourselves this afternoon, won't you? You'll forget all the hymns, but you'll be always look on the bright side. And that's what, oh, it might be raining, but at least we're not flooded. You know, that's the idea of that song. You know, always look on the bright side. There's always something to be positive about. And Paul is saying to the Ephesians, he said, you've been blessed with every spirit. You might be persecuted, but heaven awaits. There's always a blessing awaiting for. Anyway, that was 4 or 5 weeks ago. And then chapter 2, again, look at the bit in italics. It said, made alive in Christ. In other words, if you're made alive now, that means once you were dead, doesn't it? Once you were dead in your sins, but now you have been made alive. This is what he says, chapter 2, verse 1. He says, as for you, you Christians at Ephesus, you were dead in your transgressions. You were dead in your sins. And then he says, verse 4, you were dead in your sins, but because of his great love for us, God, rich in mercy, has made us alive, even when we were dead. It is by grace that you have been saved. He's saying, you've been converted, you've been saved, you've been made alive, you've been born again. You were dead in your sins, unable to do, like a dead person, unable to do anything, unable, but Christ has died for you. He has made you alive. He has made you alive. He's writing to Christians. Clearly, he's writing to Christians, you who have been made alive. Okay? chapter 2, verse 11. It's titled, One in Christ. Paul says the church is made up of different people. In fact, it's made up of different nations. It's made up of Jews and Gentiles. That's us. Non-Jews, if you like. Jews and Gentiles. And now we are, what does it say in the italics? All one in Jesus. This isn't an uneasy coalition like the Conservatives and the DUP. This isn't something, you know, this is all one. By being born again, you now belong to the same family. We call ourselves Christian. The two groups have been made one. As I say, not in a sort of a tense standoff situation. You know, yeah, I'm watching you. One thought, this is, we're one. We are united. Anything that divided us before and separated us racially in that sense, it doesn't apply. Chapter 2, verse 13, it says this. Now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away, you've been brought near through the body, through the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He has made the two one. He's destroyed the barrier, that dividing wall of hostility. He's got rid of it by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. We're made one. We've all come to Christ. We've all, Christians, we've all come to Christ. We might have come by a different journey. We might have come by a different, some might have gone to a Billy Graham rally. Some might have read a book quietly. Some might have had someone on the street with a gospel in a nutshell and said, look, I'd just like to share this verse with you. Some might have been influenced by a street pastor. Some might have been brought up in church and been influenced by a godly Sunday school teacher or a pastor or a minister or reading a book or some event in their life. But, you know, we come by different ways, but we've all acknowledged our need of Christ as a Saviour, acknowledged that we were dead in trespasses and sins, that we were sinful people, that Jesus died for us, we have asked forgiveness, and that's how we've been saved. We've come to Christ in that. And so we're all one. We're all one. We've all been converted. We've all been made alive. Then in chapter 3, Paul says, I'm a preacher to the Gentiles. He said, I feel that my ministry is to the Gentiles, not to the religious people, the Jews, but to the outsiders. I'm more of an evangelist, is what he's saying. I like to go and meet people out there. I like to found churches, to build churches, to get people converted, to get people saved, if you like. And then in verse 14, he prays for them, a prayer for the Ephesians, and he prays that they might be strengthened in their faith. And this is, I guess, what we looked at last week. Chapter 3, verse 16, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And then verse 19, he says, and I pray that you would know the love, this love that surpasses all knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's a lovely prayer, that you might know his power and be filled completely. Now, that's what we've done. I said 5 minutes, it's probably taken a bit longer. But in one sentence, Paul is saying in chapters 1, 2 and 3, you are Christian people. You've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've all been forgiven. You've been brought together, all by God's grace and faith in the Lord Jesus. And now it is, chapter 4, our verses if you like, now it is, in all that he said before about being forgiven, being all made one in Christ Jesus, he says, now, live it out. Live it out. In other words, your behavior. The book actually divides between chapters 1, 2 and 3 and then chapters 4. It is the midpoint, literally, but it is the dividing point. Chapters 1, 2 and 3 have been more doctrinal. He's speaking about doctrine. He's speaking about theology. He's speaking about what we believe, that we've been saved, that we were dead, but now we've been born again. Now he speaks about behavior, about conduct, how we are to live it out. And that's how he begins our section, chapter 4, verse 1. He says, in view of all, in effect, he's saying, in view of chapters 1, 2, and 3, in view of all that I've been saying about you've been saved, you've been forgiven, you've been chosen in God, you've been blessed by God, in all that you believe about being one together, he says, I urge you, therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, to live a life worthy of that calling, to live it out. To live it out. You say, well, isn't that wonderful, Alan? Thank you so much. I can go to sleep now for the rest of the service because folks know that I am a Christian. I live it out. Folks at work, my neighbours, I've told folks at work and my neighbours, well, they've worked it out. They see me go at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning to arrive, and they see me arrive back at just gone 12 o'clock. They know that I've got this in my Sunday best. They know I've gone to church. They know that I'm associated. So I'm living it out in that sense. They see me come to the prayer meeting at Peter and June's house on a Sunday night, 6:30, praying for them. They see me come to the village. See, I was listening to the notices because I come to the village lunch. They see me getting involved. So they know, and besides which, I don't smoke, I don't swear, I don't do the... And this is a very negative view of Christianity, you know. But, you know, listen to that little bit in italics. Our section is unity in the body of Christ. Paul's not talking about out there, he's talking about in here. That's what Paul's talking about, how we live it out amongst ourselves. He's not talking about how we live in the world. He's talking about how we live amongst ourselves, how we live it out within the united body of Christ. In here, in church. You know, we can live our lives outside that no one can point a finger to us. My old dad used to say, I'm not from a church family particularly, and he used to say, talking to one of the village butcher, who was a fine Christian in the Methodist Church, Billy Baxendale was his name, and my dad would say, if there was a few more like Billy Baxendale, there'd be a few more going to chapel. You know, because Billy Baxendale lived his life amongst, and people looked up to him in that sense. And, you know, we might live a life like that, and if there are a few more like her. You know, my neighbour who goes to church, goes to Abbotsham Baptist, I see her going, if there was a few more like that, come, wow, what a better place this... No, he's not talking about that. He's talking about how we interact amongst ourselves, the one with the other. And I'll tell you something, I'm talking about me because I'm preaching, but I've been called into situations... People have always thought I'm wiser than what I really am. But, you know, I've been called into church situations. I'm talking in Bristol, and I'm not going to tell you names of church, and other places too. Church situations, and the superintendent ministers of denominations get called in where it's almost fisticuffs, really. Pistols at door, you know, it's almost dreadful situations. No, the italics tell our bit is unity within the body, in the church. Your behavior as a Christian, I urge you, live a life worthy. You call yourselves Christians, live according to Christ. Well, let me say, before anything else, our behavior, our lives should be characterized 100% by love. From beginning to end, characterized by love. Chapter 4, verse 2, he says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. That's how our verse starts. It concludes, verse 16, from Jesus, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Have you got this? Chapter 4, verse 16. Grows and builds itself up in love. It starts with love, it ends with love, it is love. You've got to be a loving fellowship. Now, I put a little note to myself, get real. It's not always easy to love people, is it? It's not always easy to love in a church situation when, let's say, they want to get rid of the organ for a drum kit or something like that, or they want to get rid of the hymn books for that, or heaven forbid, I was ill and nobody phoned me and visited me or sent the flowers round to me, you know. And we... not always easy, is it? I can laugh and joke about it up here, but when it happens to you, it's more serious then, isn't it? Oh, nobody bothered about me when I was poorly. Nobody... I know you did when I was in hospital, didn't you? So I don't go to ministers' fraternals. I did do just a couple of times. When I was minister here, actually, the ministers get together on a monthly basis, I suppose. The different denominations, they all get together. And I remember when I was minister here, they had a meeting in Northern Vicarage. The Bishop of Crediton was coming to address them, so they wanted, and so... I think that's the only time I went. But as soon as the bishop went, the ministers started. And it's a minister's fraternal where they're supposed to encourage each other and to pray for each other. But I'll tell you what it turned out, and this is what happens. It always ends up with discussing problems. Not problems of how do we reach the... how do we support the street pastors and help to evangelize Biddeford and it, within the church? Oh, you'll never guess what's happening in my church. Oh, this is, we've got this problem in our church. When we get news from other churches, it's nearly always, is it not? Oh, Mrs. So-and-so's fallen out with Mrs. So-and-so. Oh, A and B, oh, they've fallen, C doesn't go anymore. You know, they're looking round. There's been a falling out. Somebody, it ain't easy. I put a note, it's not easy. I know that. It's not easy. But Paul is realistic. And so he says, verse 2, he says, be completely humble and gentle. Things are going to happen, but be patient. Bear with one another in love. Be completely humble. Who does that point to? Philippians chapter 2, the Lord Jesus humbled himself, completely humbled himself, became humble and obedient even to death. Take a pattern from the Lord Jesus. That's what he is saying. Be completely, be 100% humble. It's going to be difficult, but look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Be patient, he says. Again, verse 2. Bear with one. Make allowances. It's not easy. We need verse 3 to make every effort to keep and remain united. Not going to be easy, but he's writing to a church and he's saying, you've got to love each other, you've got to be patient, you've got to... Now, I ought to just say, we actually historically have left a church. So am I preaching hypocritically this morning? Well, let me say that we divide doctrinally. If there is doctrine that is against the Bible, 66 books that Jackie held up this morning, all those verses, if there's a church that is teaching things that are not in the Bible, then we have... So I don't want anybody here to feel guilty or we've left a church. You know, I'm not saying that at all because I'm in the same boat. All right, things do happen, but we divide doctrinally that we have no fellowship with... I think I've probably said enough there, but anyway, Paul reasons with them, and he speaks about unity. In fact, I don't know if you noticed, but in verses 4, 5, and 6, he uses the word one 7 times, that word that unites. What does he say? Verse 4, he says, there is one body, there is one spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. He keeps mentioning unity. We're all one. One. 7 times he says, we're all one. We're all the same family. We're all the same body. we all come to faith in the same one Lord. We've all been made alive. We've all been converted. We've all been saved. We've all been born again in the same believing faith. So work hard at it, he said. Make every effort to keep this unity. Let me say for about the 10th time this morning, it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. And I'm realistic. Paul's realistic. And I'm realistic enough. No, it's not going to. There are going to be differences. Of course there are. That's the reason for our title on the service sheet, Unity in Diversity. We're all diverse. That's the whole point in what Paul is saying. He's saying, don't let the differences divide you. Destroy that unity. Be patient, gentle, humble, forbearing. There will be differences. There is diversity. And the reason that there's differences is because God has given us different gifts. Chapter 4, verse 11. It says, it was he, God, who gave gifts, some the gift of being an apostle, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And so if you've got someone in the church who is more outgoing, and he would say, well, let's get out there with our gospel tracts. Let's get out there with the gospel in a nutshell. Let's get out there with John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That means you. Are you saved? Are you washed in the blood? Let's get out there. Let's get the tracts going out. Let's do a big door-to-door, pushing envelopes or knocking doors. And let's be evangelical. Let's do the work of an evangelist. And others might be saying, well, no, let's build each other up. We need more teaching. We need more doctrine. We need to have more Bible study and prayer meeting. We need to build out. And there's going to be differences. Some have that gift of evangelism and some have that gift of teaching. There's going to be differences. So we might think, well, you've just read for us, he gave some to be pastors and some evangelists, some apostles, some prophets, some pastors and some teachers. Wow, I can breathe a sigh of relief because that's not me. I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a prophet, I'm not an evangelist. So I'll just sit back here. Well, we have to turn to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, there's more gifts, you see. Paul just mentions a few gifts. It seems there was pastoral difficulty. But in other letters, when he writes to Corinthians, he says, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, he speaks of other gifts that is given amongst the body, the gifts of 1 Corinthians 12:28, the gift of helping, the gift of administration. We can't all preach. We can't all be pastors and teachers, but there's the gift of helping. Can we help? What does that mean? Can we help? Well, I've not been put up to this, actually, but can we put our name on the list to do the flowers? I mean, that's helping, isn't it? Can we put our name to do the coffee? Well, I prefer tea, actually, but, you know, can we do the music? I don't know, to do the welcome, to do the repair, to get a lick of paint, I've got a free, to offer hospitality. Can I help someone by giving? I'm talking about missionaries. This isn't, although I did hear, you've probably heard about the young boy in Sunday school. He came up to the preacher afterwards and he said, when I grow up, sir, he said, I'm going to give you a lot of money. And the preacher thought, wow, that's something, isn't it? He said, yeah. And he said, why is that then, sonny? Have you been... No, he said, my dad said that you're a poor preacher. And, but when... the old ones are the best, Peter, aren't they? The old ones are the best. But, you know, that's a gift. I mean, it was a gift to the preacher, but, I mean, have we ever blessed a missionary or something? Said, I know that you... I'm just saying, but it's true, there's a work for Jesus none but you can do. We're not all play the music. You know, we can't all arrange flowers. If I would, I can grow them, but I nearly said I'd die rather. I mean, I could put them in there, but I saw them being prepared this morning. The scissors were cut. They were all measured. The spirit level was out. Well, nearly, but you know. Sorry, I'm drawing attention to your flowers now. But you see the point. We can't all do these things, can we? But we can maybe do something. The gift of administration. Counting the off, whatever it is, there's a work for Jesus none but you can do. So all these gifts are needed. And in Corinthians, Paul says, the eye can't say to the foot, I don't need you. And the foot can't say to the hand, I don't need you. We're all needed. We're all the body together. And, well, let's get back to our verses. It says, and with this we're almost through now, in verse 12, it tells us really that he gave these gifts, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. For works of service that the body of Christ might be built up. There's two verbs there. In verse 12, to prepare God's people so that the body is built up. The verb to prepare and the verb to build up. That verb to prepare is used in two ways. It's used with the meaning of to equip. You know, it's not the pastor or the elder is a one-man band. We're all equipped. We're all needed. We're all needed. You know, we need someone to count the money, to pay the bills. We need administration. We're all needed. Some might be more upfront. It's me today, upfront. Some might get their name on the notices sheet. Preacher today is. They might see that. You know, not everyone's upfront, but we're all needed. It doesn't say on the notices sheet, the premises were swept by, but someone's hoovered, haven't they? Someone's done it. And all these gifts are there to equip us, to prepare us, that we're all involved. And the second way that verb to prepare is used is with the meaning of to repair. It's used, for example, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 19, where the verb prepare is actually used in the NIV. And it means of the Galilean fishermen mending their nets. They were preparing, this is Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 19. The Galilean fishermen were preparing, mending their nets. That's why we strengthen on a Sunday. That's why we're all needed together to mend, to repair, to equip us to face Monday. To prepare, all these gifts are needed to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's the second verb. That we might be, you know, we're equipped, we're mended, we're reinvigorated, if you like. We're ready to go so that we are built up. That's why the gifts are given, so that we are built up. Not so that it's, look at me. Wow, aren't I wonderful? That's not why the gifts are given. heaven forbid that's why the gifts are given, to build each other up, the church. We sing, he bids us build each other up. We build each other up. Friends, there it is, unity in diversity. It's not easy. It's not easy. We have to make every effort. We have to strive, we have to work at it, so that, verse 16, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for your attention this morning. I simply pray this morning that these stumbling, perhaps inadequate thoughts might nonetheless be a blessing to us as we reflect on what part we play in the body of Christ as expressed here at Abbotsham. Let's sing our final hymn this morning. It's number 640, The Church as One Foundation.